The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I think without ever having played a minute, if he never sees the field today, by signing a contract for potentially less than, way less than $3 million a year, Jameis Winston just put himself back on the path to being a franchise quarterback in the NFL. It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Here to break down the quarterback situation across the NFL and Jameis's future is the Athletic's senior NFL writer. It's Mike Sando on our phone lines. What's up, Mike?
Hey, not too much. How you doing?
I'm good. What do you think, Mike, of my contention that Jameis, who just made a pretty incredible short-term sacrifice here, signing a deal for as little money as he did with the New Orleans Saints, made a very wise move for his long-term future, that just by signing there, he is going to be seen as a rehabilitated reclamation project under Sean Payton's tutelage, and I think that Jameis has admitted as such in terms of what he's hoping to do, and that a year from now, I think there's going to be, if not one, two, and a potential bidding war to go back in on Jameis Winston as your potential franchise quarterback. What do you think about that, Mike?
Yeah, I think it's a great move by him. And in fact, coming out of the combine, I talked to GMs there who thought either there or Pittsburgh was going to be the landing spot for him because no one was going to touch him. With so many quarterbacks on the market, no one was going to hitch their wagon to him. The last thing he needed was to go somewhere with a bad team and he doesn't get right and he throws 38 picks and you're branded for the rest of your life, right? I mean, that's what could happen. He needs to take a step back, take a deep breath. I think his initial comments, at least that I saw social media-wise, were exactly right. I mean, it's like if I was his agent, that's how it's scripted. You know, I think it's a great year for him to take a step back, you know, show he wants to learn, show he wants to change, acknowledge that he needs to get better, and rebrand himself. I'm with you. Now, what awaits on the other side of that tunnel, I think, depends to some degree. I mean, what if he doesn't play a snap? You know what I mean? I think there will still be some questions over how high that salary would go in the next place.
Well, that's the debate we stumbled into here on the Will Cain Show. Some of my producers and I had that conversation where they believe he needs to see the field. If he doesn't get on the field and get some playing time, not many guys in the NFL are going to be convinced. I don't think so, Mike. I actually believe just being there. I think Jameis actually said it really well. I'm going to the Harvard Graduate School for quarterback play. And I think I would like to believe, and you talked to GMs, you said at the combine, I would like to believe there are enough who saw promise in Jameis's career. Because for all the turnovers, there was a lot of touchdowns and there was a lot of yards. And I've seen the numbers put up side by side with Peyton Manning's and even Drew Brees' early in his career. Now, I don't think we're saying he's going to turn into those guys. But if I'm a GM, how about this? If I'm a GM, Mike, I would sign him and I would bet on the upside, having not seen him on the field, having spent a year with Sean Payton, and I would say, if I don't get one of those quarterbacks to come out of the draft next year, if I don't get Fields or Lawrence, Jameis is the next place I'm looking.
Yes, yes, to a degree. I mean, I think with Peyton Manning or whoever you mentioned, the scouting reports of what people had on them coming out of college are part of it. So there's people that had Jameis Winston off their board, which was easy to do because they knew they weren't going to be able to pick him, right? He was going to go early. But still, there's people who had concerns with who he was off the field. He had the incident with the Uber driver. You know, there's enough out there that I think it has to go really positively for them. I think playing well on the field would be a huge asset for him. I'm not saying that he's not going to get a job, but you have to look at who's going to be open, you know. And then are they going to – what are you talking then? Are you saying someone's going to pay him $25 million a year to come in if he doesn't play down? I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I would do that.
Well, I don't want to burn up my content because coming up in about 30 minutes, I am going to address which teams, how many. I think how many is what I can answer right now. How many teams could be churning and looking for quarterbacks next year, and how many will answer that in the draft, leaving how many potential options for Jameis? The price will be predicated
on. Remember Rodgers could be going somewhere too next year.
Well, let's get to that. See, that's okay. So what I was going to do is come up with the number. How many teams will be looking for quarterback? By the way, I mean, I'll tell you right now, roughly, we'll go through this, but my anticipation is usually, Mike, we end up with like 6-7 jobs every year. We don't think we will, but we do. And two or three of those get solved in the draft, leaving like 3 or 4 of those to be solved in free agency. You think Aaron Rodgers could be one of those on the move within a year?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I could see him being asking for a trade next offseason. We have to kind of see how it goes this year, but it's an uncomfortable situation at the dinner table, I think, you know, and I don't think Rodgers is just going to, you know, take if he's perceiving to be disrespected. I don't think that's going to go well. Now, if they turn around this offseason and trade for a receiver and make it all good and they go to the Super Bowl, you know, I mean, things can have a happier ending. It just right now, I think it's trending as the beginning of the end, and I could see him being moved next offseason.
Mike Sando of The Athletic here on The Will Cain Show. I did the cap ramifications yesterday on, I believe, was letting him. The dead cap's pretty big. That hits if he's traded as well, right? That's
yeah, but the dead cap's so overrated. I mean, it's such a 1998 conception of how this works. Look at Antonio Brown, okay? He had a huge dead money, and people were like, oh, they'll never do it. Well, they did it. And here's the way the dead money works. So let's just say, I don't have it right in front of you. Let's just say the Aaron Rodgers cap number is $30 million next year. Okay. So even if they cut him and don't have to pay him his whatever $15 million salary, I'm just making it up, because of the way these things work, his contract could still count, let's say, $28 million against the cap instead of 30. Okay. So what people do is they're like, well, they're not going to carry $28 million of dead money. And I'm like, why not? He's going to count 30 anyway. So you take the – it's not cash they're having to pay. It's just an accounting mechanism. So, okay, he counts 28 on their cap, and Jordan Love counts 5. So they have $33 million in their quarterback cap number. Well, what does Minnesota and every other team that's got an expensive quarterback have, right? It's not prohibitive. It's not like he's going to count $50 million against the cap and they have to cut their whole defense. It's just – it would be a one-time thing where you bite the bullet a little bit, but he was going to count that anyway.
Yeah, wow. Nuno, will you do that? Will you look up what his dead cap hit is over the next couple of years?
I'll do it right. I looked it up, but I mean, I'm just telling you close to what it is. And, you know, that's what it was like. It was confusing to me. Like, I think Andrew Brandt tweeted that this will be hard to do, and I'm like, I it's not. I mean, that's what people said about Antonio Brown, because it was like $18 or $20 million in dead money. He didn't come back.
What do you get from why they drafted Jordan Love? I mean, we've seen the reports from Bob McGinn with The Athletic, who said it didn't go so well for LaFleur and Rodgers this year. So it's easy to paint it. I think everybody wants to paint it as this seamless transition, this passing of the torch. But it's not that, right?
These are the things that organizations talk about internally, and usually there's an owner who comes down the hall and says, we ain't doing that. You know what I mean? We got Peyton Manning here. We're hitting him a receiver. We got Tom Brady here. We're trading for name one of the 15 receivers they've traded for over the years in New England or whatever. You know what I mean? And I think in this case, you got a second-year head coach. You got a second, you know, two- or three-year GM. Where's the owner, right? Jim Irsay is not walking down that hallway. Bob Kraft isn't walking down that hallway. So I think it appears to me that, you know, they made a move without maybe fully considering what the ramifications could be. But certainly they didn't draft this new guy to not ever play, right? I mean, I think there's a expectation when you draft a guy in the first round and trade up for him that he's playing quarterback in about 2 years. And people will say, well, Rodgers sat 3, and I'll go, do you think that was the plan when they drafted Rodgers? They thought Favre was going to retire at any moment. He'd already given him a month before the draft. He said, I'm coming back. Well, you take a guy early because you think he's going to be your quarterback pretty soon. That's it.
So yesterday I said the clock was on. I think we all agree the clock is on the Aaron Rodgers tenure in Green Bay. I put the number at 3 years. It sounds like to me you think it's much shorter than that, 2 and possibly.
I'll take the under on 3 years all day, and if we bet $1,000, I would just spend it right now.
That's how confident you feel.
For 3 years. I mean, it's going to be under on the 3. I think I feel pretty confident in that. You know, I do. I just
Yeah, sounds like you think it's going to be one or two. Just now you told me. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I would almost – I mean, to me, the over-under is 1.5, you know, and you just pick one of those, more than 2.5.
Wow, Mike Sandow here.
You know, if everything comes together, great. I mean, things could change, but that's just the way it feels right now.
And so that puts him potentially, this is where we started this conversation, in the same market for quarterback answers to questions as Jameis Winston. And Aaron Rodgers at age, at that time he'd be what, 37? 37, yeah. 30, 38. He'd be coming off the last two seasons, I think would be fair to say, are fairly average seasons. Not bad,
yeah.
But not the Aaron Rodgers.
Not great. What,
right. The market for Aaron Rodgers out there would be what, Mike?
I think someone would give a first-round pick for him. You know, I mean, I think there's enough evidence that his drop-off has to do, yeah, sure, some of it could be him, but I mean, but certainly they're, look at what they've had at wide receiver the first half of the last decade compared to the last 5 years. I mean, Devontae Adams, the last guy they've drafted, I believe, in the first three rounds, and that was 2000, and that's years ago, you know, 2014, 15, something like that. Who's their tight end they're going to, right? And so I think, you know, you could say the McCarthy scheme got stale late, right? And now you're running a new offense that usually you run when you don't have a quarterback. This is the play action. We got Kirk Cousins. We want to make people think Kirk Cousins is elite. So we're going to run this play action offense, take the ball out of his hand, hit some shots down the field. He's going to finish the year with 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions and go to the Pro Bowl. But everyone in the league is going to say he's a 3 in my quarterback tiers thing. You know, that's what you run that offense for usually. And so what would happen if, you know, next offseason, John Gruden said, you know what, we drafted these 3 guys in the first round. We got a back we like. Come on down to Vegas. You think John Gruden would give up something for him? I do.
Hey, Mike, who else is in your who else is in that situation you just described for Cousins, where the offense is designed, the play action is designed to make him look great, but everybody will put you in the third tier? Who is in another somebody?
Well, I mean, the Shanahan offense was great for that, and so, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, right? I mean, people have a little bit of a better opinion on him than they do on Cousins. I would say a lot of people do, but John Elway, the last 2 years of his career, what did they run? Right? I mean, you're not. Mm-hmm. In a pure drop back situation where everyone knows we're going to pass, and Dan Marino's sitting back there licking his hand, you know, and the ball's coming out. It's, you know, play action with a bunch of run looks out of 21 personnel with 2 backs, and the base defense is on the field, and we mm-hmm. can't find the ball. You know, that's
Mike,
what you're.
I know doing. A guy who threw for over 30 touchdowns and had number one offense in the league. Is Dak finally going to go up in your quarterback tiers?
It's a good question. I don't know that he'll. I mean, what was he, the top of the third tier? He'll waver between second and third, but I don't see him pushing towards one. This
when you put that out, you do that in August. When do you do that?
Yeah. Well, it remains to be seen how fast they can get the work done. But usually it's in July or August. Yeah.
I love it. That's where you talk to GMs and personnel around the league on where they put the quarterbacks, what tiers. Will you call me this time so I can put a vote in for Dak? Someone's going to have to speak
put
up.
Put you on the panel. 49 evaluators are in the league, and Will Kane.
No, you don't have to do that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. It's really good stuff today. Really good. I enjoyed this conversation. Thanks so much, Mike.
Great. Thank you. Okay.
That's Mike Sandow of The Athletic, their senior NFL writer. Wow, there was a lot to unpack right there. I think we're going to have to do that and go ahead and get the chisel and hammer out. It's time to start settling on who we're putting into that fourth spot on the Mount Rushmore of 90s It Girls. That's coming up, plus my top 10 teams in the NFL. It's the Will Kane Show on ESPN Radio.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
My top 10 teams in the NFL. It's time for 1 through 5. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune into The Last Dance as it continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And listen to Jalen Jacoby, the After Show podcast, featuring The Last Dance director Jason Hare, available every Sunday night immediately after the show. Listen to Jalen Jacoby, the After Show, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Now that the draft is over and most of free agency is done, I've ranked my top 10 teams in the NFL. A little bit earlier in the show, I gave you 10 through 6. Just as a recap, it went like this here. At number 10, the Green Bay Packers. At number 9, the Minnesota Vikings. At number 8, the Seattle Seahawks. At number 7, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And at number 6, the Dallas Cowboys. That brings me to 1 through 5 on my top 10 teams in the NFL. They go like this here. At number 5, it's the reigning NFC champion San Francisco 49ers. I think the Niners are looking good. I think they did well in the draft. I think they're giving Jimmy Garoppolo some interesting receiving targets in Brandon Ayuk. I also believe there is going to be some bit of a regression. I don't think what we saw was the birth of a dynasty, but a good team with a great defense that will be competing year in, year out. But I think there are two teams in the NFC that are better than them. At number 4, the New Orleans Saints. This roster is getting deep. This roster is getting good. The Saints didn't have a ton of picks in the draft, but they seemed to knock out of the park the ones that they got. Getting Zach Bond in the 3rd was a huge value. Getting Cesar Ruiz at center. They're building that offensive line. One more year of Drew Brees. Jameis Winston, by the way, is your backup quarterback, along with Taysom Hill. I like where the New Orleans Saints are. At number 3, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I believe what they put together on paper. I believe in the coaching staff combining with Tom Brady. I think the defense is way better. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 3rd, emerging from the offseason in the NFL. At number 2, the Baltimore Ravens. This was my number 1 draft class in the NFL. For a team that was on fire last year with Lamar Jackson, they absolutely went in the draft with volume and quality and surrounded him with yet even more talent. Baltimore Ravens are going to be a problem this year in the AFC, and they come in at number 2 in my rankings. And at number 1, it is your reigning Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Everyone loves the pick of Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the end of the 1st round, a receiving back, a comparison to Brian Westbrook, who Andy Reid had in Philadelphia, and yet another weapon for Patrick Mahomes. The Kansas City Chiefs deserve to remain at number 1 in your top 10 teams in the NFL. There you go. Kansas City, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, San Francisco, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Minnesota, and Green Bay. You got to hear some of that sound if you're just joining us from Mike Sando, the senior writer of The Athletic, here on the Will Cain Show just moments ago about his prediction for the Green Bay Packers and their future with Aaron Rodgers. He took the under on 3 years. He set the over-under at 1.5 years left for Aaron Rodgers, and he did not feel confident Aaron Rodgers would be there after this next season. I'll play that sound a little bit later here on the show. Plus, we're going to explore exactly how many starting jobs will be available for Jameis Winston next year, where I think he's going to be rehabilitated and back in the market for a franchise quarterback position, perhaps competing against Aaron Rodgers. But coming up next, we also have to finish off the Mount Rushmore of 90s It Girls. I think Mike A. has unsuccessfully lobbied for Jenny McCarthy to be dropped off the mountain. That means Pam Anderson, Carmen Electra, and Jenny McCarthy have 3 of the spots. The only question is, who is the 4th? I have a 4th, another nomination for that 4th spot. Her name is not as famous. I know I was big on her, guys. It's Erica Eleniak. Now, she was a Baywatch girl and probably most famous for her role in Under Siege, the Steven Seagal Navy SEAL on an aircraft carrier movie from the 90s. But I really liked Erica Eleniak. I just don't think she reaches the heights of the others who are currently in the running for this 4th spot. The favorites right now are Yasmine Bleeth, Anna Nicole Smith, and Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Nicole Eggert, Jennifer Love Hewitt, and Alicia Silverstone have a chance on the outside. We'll vote on that. And remember, it's kind of being famous for more than your actual career warranted. No big-time music, movie stars, TV stars, or musicians. You know, Janet Jackson's too famous. Shouldn't count. That's not Jennifer Aniston, too famous. Big-time TV show. We're talking about marginal TV shows, fame far exceeding actual career work. But yet, results in a decade it girl. We're going to get that fourth spot coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
With the 26th pick, the Green Bay Packers select.
I'm stunned at this pick. I mean, move up and get someone that can help you now.
Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State.
You are telling the world we now have a succession plan.
You're telling your quarterback a message that I don't think he is going to enjoy.
A quarterback that could be the heir apparent, Aaron Rodgers.
I can't think of a more miserable mentor than Aaron Rodgers.
Boy, I can't wait for Aaron's thoughts on this.
I might have greatly overestimated the window on Aaron Rodgers' tenure as the Green Bay Packers quarterback. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Sando of The Athletic just put the over-under at a year and a half, and he made a compelling argument you should take the under. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show, but first, your SportsCenter update. Former Packer quarterback Brett Favre thinks Rodgers will follow the same career path that he did, finish the career he's had with the Packers with someone other than Green Bay, now that the team has picked Jordan Love in the first round of the draft. SportsCenter is brought to you by Nature Valley. Satisfying crunch of Nature Valley Crunchy Bars can keep your family going, which means more outside fun for you. And with whole grain oats and real delicious honey, it's really tasty too. Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bars. I've got some sound from you just a little bit earlier on the Will Cain Show. You got to hear this. Mike Sando knows what he's talking about when it comes to the NFL. He speaks to GMs. He knows what usually goes down with various teams, and he had some strong predictions for the future of the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. I'll play that in just a moment. But let's go ahead and clean up the room. Let's go around picking up everything that's fallen on the floor over the last 3 hours. Let's do this. Let's start off on a friendly note. I said I'm starting a list, my wife and I are, of most annoying things about our children since we've been in quarantine. Don't get us wrong, we love them, as we stated, more than most people. But that doesn't mean they can't be annoying at times. And the thing that I'm dealing with right now is I'm working on week 3 of English accents. I'm telling you, every time I turn around, I'm being called a mate. And they're bad English accents. But they're not. I can't get them to stop. What are you laughing at?
I just find that hilarious. After you do this, can
what? We? Do you want me to give you another one? Do you want me to give you another one?
Go ahead. Then I have something to say to you.
Okay. How about this? Uh-oh. I got another one. This is on the list. What's with the lack of dexterity when it comes to board games? I mean, if you're not knocking pieces over, you cannot roll the dice and keep them both on the table. Every roll of the dice has to be a dramatic affair with the dice flying up into the air and one of them's on the floor, and it's a whole deal every time. And I swear, I've said, if that dice lands on the floor, this game is over. And they cannot keep them on the board. So add that to the English accents. Sorry, mate. And I'm about to lose my mind.
Well, as the producer of the show, and one of the things we pride ourselves on is allowing people to come on the show and defending themselves. You're going after your kids, you and your wife. I think it would only be fair if then they could come on the show and tell us what is driving them crazy about you and probably less about
I'll your bet wife. They have a freaking list.
You think so? I wonder how microphone shy they would get if I said, go ahead, give them your accent there, boys. Go ahead. Call Nuno mate. I mean, they know all of you guys, by the way, very well. They know who you are. They have feelings for you guys, just so you know. So I don't know how it would go. Mike, you have kids. Do you have anything to add to the list right now?
I do. I would say first is their very existence is
– I thought you were stopping there.
No, I did that on purpose. It makes – because they're around, because they exist, I can't take any chances. Like, I can't do what I want to do because they're there. And the other thing I would say – going to the store – and just being like, all right, I'm just going to run in and run out. I can't do that. Like, I'm not allowed to do that because it's not, oh, if I get sick, I get sick. But if one of them gets sick, oh, boy. And the other thing would be, I made that sound bigger than it was. The other thing would be my 3-year-old has his mother's timing, which is it'll just be when the baby goes to sleep that he yells, I have to poop. And just wakes everybody up.
Hey, that's another thing. Like, and let me just make you feel better, Mike. That's not just a you problem. I don't understand the necessity to announce it to the household. Because it's every time. Every time. That is a public service announcement. I have to poop. Great. Just go do it, man. There's a bathroom wide open. I don't think you need to make everybody aware. But for some reason for kids, that is something that everyone needs to be made aware of ahead of time. I am headed to the bathroom. I have to poop. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. All right, now that we've started that list, I like the poop one. I'm going to put that on the list for sure. Let's go ahead and do this. Carmen Electra, Pam Anderson, and Jeanne McCarthy are already being etched into the mountain. They are Mount Rushmore 90s It girls. Can we agree Mike lost that debate? Bubba, Nuno,
I agree. I lost that debate. Listen, I know when I'm beat.
Okay, so good. There's three. Your wife told you were beat. That's what it was. Your wife said you better keep Jeanne McCarthy up there. All right. So it's time for us to go ahead and pick that fourth person. Okay. I think these are the leaders in the clubhouse. Yasmine Bleeth, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, Anna Nicole Smith. I think that's it. I mean, if you want to make an argument for Jennifer Love Hewitt or Nicole Eggert, I'll hear it. But I think those three are your favorites. Is anybody else, before we go, is there any other name you think really needs to be in the running here?
Nobody I would put over any of them, but there's a few names that should be in the running, so I won't even bring it up.
But those are the top three?
Yeah.
Okay. Bubba, Nuno, anybody we're forgetting?
I was partial to Daisy Fuentes, but I don't think – I can't make a big enough argument to get her on that list, so I'm good.
Okay. I actually think this is going to come down to two names. I think this is going to be a debate between two for that final spot, okay? So let's go ahead and make our votes. I think we know where Mike's going, so Mike, you go ahead and cast your vote.
It's Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Okay. I knew you were going there, okay. And I think it's good. I think it's good. Somebody did tweet me this. Mike, you're going, you know, these were big-time sex symbols in the 90s, right? Tiffany Amber Thiessen was more in the cute bucket, right? Like, she was really good-looking, but more cute than sex symbol.
I don't know anybody that had a crush on Anna Nicole Smith, if that's your other name. You want to talk about Yasmine Bleeth, we can talk.
I think that's a fair rebuttal. I think you've done a nice job there. That's master debating. Bubba, who are you going to vote for that fourth spot?
Man, you know, I my initial one was always thinking Anna Nicole Smith kind of just fits this all the categories perfectly. But she's pretty annoying. She's dead, but she was annoying.
Was that what you were going to say, Nuno?
Yeah, you had to get that in there. I'm aware she's dead, all right? I mean, I think I'm going to have to go with Mike. I think as someone who grew up right in that time watching Saved by the Bell every day, she was number one, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, and – cute, and hot, whatever you want to say.
Can always trust Bubba to come around to reason. Let's not forget her stint on 90210 either.
Yeah. So, I mean, we even looked it up today. She's still bringing it. So, congrats to her.
I don't know what Nuno's vote's going to be. I'm worried it'll be over.
He's on his phone doing something, laughing to himself. I don't know.
All right, good. I'll go last.
I think still be texting Darlington about some inappropriate stuff.
Do you need a minute?
No, I mean, like... I think no matter if I'm probably not going to go Tiffany, but I'm not going to go Anna Nicole Smith. So it defeats the purpose, right? So if I'm
choosing if you go Yasmin, it'll be a 2-2 tie if Will does.
But I you don't know where I'm going yet.
That's where I was going to go. I was going to go Yasmin.
Like, you're going Yasmin Bleeth.
Yeah, go okay. That way.
All right, 2 votes for Tiffany Amber Thies and 1 vote for Yasmin Bleeth. Okay. I will tell you – I already know – okay. I'll make my vote, but Tiffany Amber Thies won because I'm not voting for Yasmin Bleeth. It's – for me, it's between Anna Nicole Smith and Tiffany Amber Thies. And I don't know. It's really close. I liked Tiffany. To your point, Mike, I had a crush on Tiffany Amber Thies. I liked her better than Anna Nicole Smith.
Yes! Yes!
But I do think Anna Nicole Smith reached a level of fame and sex symbol status that Tiffany Amber Thies did not. But she also, with her she kind of tore herself down afterwards. You know what I mean? Like with the whole reality show. So, okay, all right. It doesn't matter how I vote. I'm going to vote Anna Nicole Smith, and Tiffany Amber Thies wins. That's how it works. There you go. Yay. There's your 90s Mount Rushmore.
Oh, wait. We forgot to ask Pat.
Oh, God. No, we didn't.
Pat says it's Janine Garofalo.
Okay. Pat was born in the 90s. It's Jenny McCarthy, it's Pam Anderson, it's Carmen Electra, and it's Tiffany Amber Thies.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We don't have much time left in the show. I want to go through the market for Jameis Winston this next season because I'm here to tell you, I think he's going to rehabilitate his career, whether or not he's on the field or not. Whether or not he sees a minute of action, just being, as he said, in the Harvard Graduate School of Quarterback Play with Sean Payton, combined with the need at quarterback next year. And I have a list of teams that I think will be looking at needing a franchise quarterback next year that exceeds the 2 or 3 that will be answered in the draft to show you exactly how many jobs could be available to Jameis Winston as a franchise quarterback? Not just a starter, but he could be competing against Aaron Rodgers next year in the marketplace for somebody's quarterback. That's what Mike Sando, the Athletic senior NFL writer, told us a little bit earlier on the Will Cain Show. He said within a year, Rodgers could be gone. Listen.
We have to kind of see how it goes this year, but it's an uncomfortable situation at the dinner table, I think. You know, and I don't think Rodgers is just going to, you know, take if he's perceiving to be disrespected. I don't think that's going to go well. Now, if they turn around this offseason and trade for a receiver and make it all good and they go to the Super Bowl, you know, I mean, things can have a happier ending. It just right now, I think it's trending as the beginning of the end, and I could see him being moved next offseason.
Moved next offseason. I put the over under the other day at 3 years, but Sando said, no, that's easy money. It's a different number. Listen to this. I put the number at 3 years. It sounds like to me you think it's much shorter than that, 2 and possibly.
I'll take the under on 3 years all day, and if we bet $1,000, I would just spend it right now.
That's how confident you feel.
Yeah, for 3 years. I mean, it's going to be under on the 3. Yes, I think I feel pretty confident in that. You know, I do. I just.
Yeah, it sounds like you think it's going to be 1 or 2. Just now you told me. I mean.
Yeah. I would almost. I mean, to me, the over-under is 1.5, you know. And you just pick one of those, more than 2.5. If everything comes together, great. I mean, things could change, but that's just the way it feels right now.
1.5 years on the over-under for Aaron Rodgers' tenure in Green Bay. What that means is, however many teams I come up with for Jameis, and I'll lay them out next tomorrow on the Will Cain Show, I'll lay out exactly which teams I think will be in the quarterback market and how many be left after they find their answers in the draft. Jameis competing against Aaron Rodgers for a job somewhere out there in the league. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. I will be here. I will see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.